Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said, "Go to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on people who are ill, and they will get well." After the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. And this is what we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks. The disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. The signs that accompanied it were they were praying for people to be healed, the people were delivered. And what I've been saying over the last couple of weeks is that in my own life, I've reckoned there's a mismatch between what the scripture says and what I experience. The word says that signs and wonders will follow those that preach the word. Signs and wonders will demonstrate that the word that is preached is valid. There's no point us saying that Jesus is Lord. There's no point Jesus can bring you peace. Point us saying Jesus can bring you peace. That Jesus can bring you joy. That Jesus can release you from the addiction that you're under. Unless when we pray, it happens. Otherwise, we are just saying empty words. There's no point saying that God is your healer and then praying for that person and nothing happening. Because it doesn't demonstrate at all anything to that person that Jesus is Lord and that anything that we have said is worth listening to. When we look at the scripture, we look at the disciples, we look at the believers. We're believers. They went out, preached the word, and signs and wonders followed them. So, there's something wrong. Either the scripture is wrong. Well, we don't believe the scripture is wrong. The other morning we were looking at the validity of scripture, the fact that the scripture is erroneous, is without error. Here we are, put it like that. Is without error, is inspired by the very breath of God. And is useful for us so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16, you know it well. So the scripture's right. So what is wrong? There must be something wrong. What is it that is not quite there? And I started to ask myself that question, and I've, you know, it's a question that is relevant for me, and I'm sure is relevant for you, is how can I now experience that which the scripture says. So that when I do meet with people and say, well, Jesus can change your life, Jesus can release you from this addiction, and we pray with that person and they're released. How can I come to that so that Jesus is shown to be real? The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but a matter of power. So there is a lack of understanding on my part. There's a lack of understanding on our part because there's something missing. And Matthew 13:18 tells us about when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which is sown in their heart. And so, if there is a lack of understanding, if we don't understand what the Bible says and we don't understand how we're going to get to that place of marrying our lives with what the scripture says, if there is a lack of understanding, the enemy will steal it away and we'll miss out. Last week, if you were here, you would have heard me give this illustration. I'll give it again because it helps us to understand, and I'll share that story again so that it helps to cement what I said last week for those of you who were here, and for the benefit of those that weren't here, it helps you to understand where I'm coming from. When I was in the cafe the other week, there was a man who asked me about whether there was an inscription booklet for the tombstones at St. Mary's Church. And I says, I haven't got a clue whether there's a memorial inscription booklet. So I just got out my phone. I said, okay, Google, St. Mary's Memorial Inscription Booklet. You know, and I was, it went bing bong like it does. And it came up with all the answers. Well, there isn't a booklet, but it came up with all kinds of answers. But the man was impressed that my phone could do what it did. I spoke into it. Okay, Google. And he said to me, I wish my phone could do that. And he took his phone out of his pocket and it was one of these Samsung Galaxy 7 things, which is one of the most expensive phones that you can buy apart from an iPhone. Well, I don't know, it might be more expensive than some iPhone models, but it was one of those most expensive. I says, your phone can do it. All you've got to do is turn on voice recognition and you're there. Now, the point that I was making last week is that that man didn't realize what his phone could do. He was ignorant. And therefore, in many respects, he was robbed because he'd spent a lot of money and he was only using the phone for speaking to people. He didn't realize all the apps on his phone that he had and what those apps could do and was missing out. Now, how did I apply that to us as Christian believers? Because I don't believe, I believe that we're like that man who doesn't understand what we already have. We don't understand the apps that are resident, if you like. Continuing the analogy, and because we don't understand the apps that are resident through the Holy Spirit in our lives, we don't know how to use them, we don't use them, and therefore we walk around just like that man with his phone, ignorant of what 99% of what his phone could do. And I'm sure as believers, we are ignorant of what God wants to do or can do through us. If only we knew. If only we understood. So if we go to another scripture, Ephesians 1:17, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know to the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly realms. In other words, the prayer that Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus is that they might know how many apps they've got, and that they might know how to use them, and that they might understand them. I want you to know, church, to have your eyes opened to the fact that the Holy Spirit lives in you, and that same Holy Spirit that lives you is so powerful that it is the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And so when we get to grasp that the Holy Spirit resides in us, and that His power is so powerful that it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, suddenly, anything that presents itself before us shouldn't be difficult. Any situation, any challenge should not be difficult. Anybody that comes to us with a problem or with a challenge shouldn't be difficult to sort out in Jesus' name, because the Holy Spirit resides within us. And Paul is praying, I want you to get a handle on this. I want you to grasp this. I want you to have some wisdom and some revelation to get your head around the fact of the fact that the Holy Spirit resides in you and he wants to flow through you and touch a needy world around us. Because at the minute, I think we're only using or understanding a small part of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us. His incomparably great power for us who believe. I pray that your eyes and your heart may be enlightened. Now, this is what we've spoken about over the last couple of weeks. And one of the things that I've said is that so often we sing songs like, I want more of your love in my life. Well, think about it for a minute, because God has already loved us as much as he can. God can't love us anymore because he's already fully loved us. So in many respects, when we say, oh Lord, I want more of your love in my life, really what we should be saying is that I want to understand the love that you have for me. Oh Lord, I want more power of you in my life. Well, God says, well, I've given you your Holy Spirit, my Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit's power already resides in you. You've already got his power. And so really the prayer should be, help me to understand the power that lives within me. So it's not a case of, I want more love, I want more power. It's a case of understanding that love and power that is in our lives. And last week we looked at when you receive power, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. And it's important, I'm just elaborating a little bit more on where we were last week, because throughout the week you talk to people, you have home groups, and you discuss things, and you sort of think about things that you could have said or things that may need elaborating. So let's just elaborate a little bit more now on this. So it was good last week when we got to that point when we said, one of the ways that we will know before we can start anything, any ministry in our lives, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We were talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We were talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit being a distinct experience separate from conversion. The sermon will be on the internet soon. And if you missed it, you can listen and catch up on that there. That's where we were last week. But one of the and people were prayed for at the end, and I prayed for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it was good. And people have spoken to me since and said that, you know, that experience, that they really felt that God has come into their lives, and they know the Holy Spirit within their lives, and they're even beginning to see changes, and things are happening in their lives as a result. Praise the Lord. But one of the things that perhaps I would say as a result of that is that when we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives, when we allow God to move through us, we need to surrender to him. We need to be sensitive to him and surrender to him and to listen to his voice. I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment or two. We need to listen to his voice so that when God wants us to do something, we do it. Because God is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He does not force himself upon us. So often I hear people say, well, if God wants me to heal somebody, he'll give me that gift as and when I need it. And that's the idea that suddenly they'll be walking along the street and God will come along and say, oh, right, there's somebody that needs to be prayed for to be healed. And they'll be walking along the street and God suddenly will get hold of them and say, right, okay, oh, what's happening? Oh, the Holy Spirit is moving me to... That's not how it works. We are not puppets on a string. We are people who hear the voice of God and respond to that. God requires us to cooperate with him. And that's key as well. We'll talk about this more, I guess, in the weeks ahead. God requires us to cooperate with him. He doesn't force himself upon us. He wants us to surrender to him. There's a difference between... see, again, we can talk about being out of control in God. Being out of control in the Holy Spirit. I understand the sentiment of people who say, well, I want to be out of control. But really what they're saying is that I want to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Because God doesn't want us to be out of control. He wants us to cooperate with him. He doesn't want us to be out of control in the Holy Spirit gifts, because the Corinthian church were out of control. They were out of control in the flesh, and they didn't know how to control the Holy Spirit. So no, I don't want the Holy Spirit to be out of control in my life. I want to be listening to what the Holy Spirit wants me to do and be surrendered to Him, so that when He speaks to me, I'm obedient to His command. We're not puppets on a string. We are people that hear His voice and obey Him. God just doesn't throw the gifts down from heaven and they happen automatically. We have to cooperate with what God is wanting us to do. Okay, so what do I have to do to receive the Holy Spirit? All we need to do is ask Him. And yes, I've gone through that as well. All right, okay, so here we are. Here's an example of somebody who has to cooperate with God. Here's Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 6, 2 Timothy 1, 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying of hands. So Timothy had received the Holy Spirit into his life. He had received the gifts of the Holy Spirit into his life. And now Paul is telling him, fan into flame them. Do something. Get aware of what those gifts are. Make sure that you are cooperating with what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Again, we might say, oh Lord, I want more fire. I want the fire in my life. Well, God has already given you the fire in your life. Start fanning it into flame. You've got to do something now. You've got to respond. That's a whole different sermon. Okay. And but what I want to get you to tonight then is the Holy Spirit resides in us. There's all these things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through us. There's all these things, there's all this power that is available to us. There's all the healing that God wants to flow through us for other people. There's all the grace and the healing of the mind and the addictions and all the deliverance that God wants us to flow through us. All those signs and wonders, as the disciples saw, He wants that to flow through us after we've preached the word. How is that going to happen? Because it's not happening at the minute. How is it that we get to understand all the apps that we have and are available and what they do and how they're used? Because if we have a lack of knowledge, the enemy will rob them. So, first thing that I want to say is, the question is, how do we appropriate the Holy Spirit's power that is within our lives? Well, the first thing that we do is that this slide's not there, Joshua. You might have realized I'm already well off my notes. Romans 12, 1 and 2 said, of yourselves as a living sacrifice. And then verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know what the will of God is. In sharp paraphrase, but that's essentially what it is. It means that your mind has to be renewed. It means that your thinking has got to be God kind of thinking. And when you think like God, then you begin to understand who God is in your life and what He wants to do through you. So much of our thinking is, inverted commas, carnal. It's flesh thinking. It's worldly thinking. Our thinking is influenced by what the world says. So when we turn on the news, we hear about Donald Trump and we think about nuclear war and we say, and if we weren't Christians, we'd all be panicking and we'd all be living in fear. And well, what we've got to do is actually say, think what the Lord says. Well, the Lord is our protector. There's nothing to fear about, nothing to fear. I'm not going to collapse into a heap and hide in a corner because of what Ching Chong Yong is saying. Is that his name? in North Korea? It's close. You know what I mean. But this is for every area in our lives. And so often we're influenced by the world. You know, I was once praying with somebody who was having difficulty sleeping. And they were terrified and they were waking up with night tremors and nightmares and goodness knows what. And I said, well, you know, having a conversation with them, well, what's behind all of this? And I said, well, every night before I go to bed, I turn on the horror channel and I watch a horror movie before I go to bed. No wonder. Exactly. And so that person, instead of walking in peace and joy of the Holy Ghost, are walking in fear, thinking that there's some goblin about to chew them up or some monster's going to fall out of the sky and eat them up or whatever. Our minds have to be renewed. Now, these are extreme examples, but, you know, our minds have to be renewed with what we think about our children, you know, and what God wants to do with our kids. You know, because we say, oh, they're just going down, they're just going into, they're just like any other teenager, they're just going to end up in trouble. They're nothing but, well, what does the Bible say? Our children are a blessing. You know, and when we talk about healing and we oh, I've got this pain, oh, I'm dying. I'm going to be dead tomorrow. Well, the Lord says the Lord is our healer. The Spirit says, yeah, and we need to have that renewing of our mind so that we understand what the mind of God is, because Scripture says that the Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit. So we just need to know what the mind of Christ is about so many things in our lives. And this is why the Bible has to be really central in our lives. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with reading newspapers. There's nothing wrong with watching telly. There's nothing wrong with leisure activities. But the Scripture says that we should lay aside every weight. Now, it says, does it say lay aside every weight and sin? And so it separates weights and sin. You know, so some things might not be sinful, but they can drag us down. So if there's anything that's dragging you down in your relationship with God, you know, sometimes you meet people who read the Examiner cover to cover and can recite the small lads backwards, and yet they don't know the Word of God. And you say to them, oh, can you find time to read the Bible? I haven't got time. We've got time to read the Examiner. You got time to read the Word of God. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to us. You see, the one way that the Holy Spirit works in us, the Holy Spirit, one of the Holy Spirit's jobs in his functions in the Trinity, is to reveal the truth of who Jesus is, to reveal the truth of who God is. And so when Paul prays that prayer, that their eyes might be enlightened, It's a phenomenal prayer, really, because when you think about it, when Paul penned that letter 2,000 years ago, it's been preserved for us in the Scripture, and it was the prayer that he prayed. Now, he could have prayed lots of things for the Ephesian church, but he prayed. That their eyes might be opened to, and they'd have a revelation about who Jesus is and the power that resides within them by the Holy Spirit. So, a renewing of the mind. But then also, how else do we appropriate that which was within? How do we allow his power to start flowing in our lives? And the bit that I want to talk to tonight, and really I've spent 3/4 of my message on an introduction and on stuff that's not in my notes. Finally, in the last 10 minutes tonight, I want to talk to you about the value of the gift of speaking in tongues. Because the speaking in tongues helps you to understand who God is and what he wants to do in and through you. And so if you want to get a greater revelation of the apps that are resident within, the Holy Spirit will help you. And one way that you can do that is by praying in tongues. Now, I'm not talking about the public gift of tongues. That's available on another CD that's I preached about not too long ago, actually. But I just want to remind you again now about the private gift of tongues and its value. Okay, so let's put this, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. It opens up a new dimension of prayer. So the Spirit prays within. We open our mouth and it's the Spirit praying. If it's the Spirit praying, there are no errors in that prayer. If it's the Spirit praying, the Spirit is praying and hitting the nail on the head. If it's the Spirit praying, it's the Spirit praying accurately. And so one of the illustrations that I always use when talking about the gift of tongues and how there is a new dimension of prayer as we pray in tongues, use the illustration of, what's her name? Oh, dearie me, Jackie Pullinger. In the book Chasing the Dragon, she was a missionary in Hong Kong before the Chinese takeover, or the British handover, should I say. And she worked in Hong Kong amongst the walled city, that great ghetto of a place. And amongst that were drug addicts. And she was called to that city and to minister to the drug addicts there in the opium dens. And she'd preach the gospel to these people. And these people would say, I want to know Jesus. And as a result, they'd want to come off the opium and the heroin and goodness knows what that they were taking, all the mixtures of stuff. And they had cold turkey. And so she would have a group in her church that would literally pray over these people in tongues for 2 days. And as they prayed over in tongues for 2 days, you can read about it in her book, Chasing the Dragon, these people were delivered from their addiction. Very, very quickly, because the Holy Spirit was playing through them, touching their lives, praying accurately, hitting the nail on the head. So when we come to use that gift to pray, the Holy Spirit prays through us, and suddenly the prayers that we are beginning to pray are accurate and hit the nail on the head and are very fruitful. But another area that I want you to notice, okay? Or anyone speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands. He utters the mysteries of God. So he utters the mysteries of God. Those things that we do not understand, we speak out in that tongue. Now, I'm off my notes now, Joshua. Scripture says that he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. He built himself up in the holy faith, Jude. Why is the gift of tongues so important? Because when we speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, or speaking those mysteries, and he is revealing who Jesus is. Now, how do we understand? Because the tongue that we're speaking, we don't understand. We don't understand it. But what we do is we ask God for the interpretation. And he gives us, in response, the wisdom that we are seeking. Now, when we talk about the public gift and asking for an interpretation, it's usually an interpretation of the words that were given. Sometimes when we ask God for the interpretation of that prayer tongue, God does give us the sort of a words in a sentence, this is exactly what I'm saying. But sometimes the Holy Spirit, after we have been speaking in tongues, gives us thoughts into our minds that is the answer to the solution to a problem that we've been challenged about. So as we're praying in tongues, God might say to you, ring so and so up. And well, that thought came from nowhere. No, it didn't. You were praying in tongues and God is speaking to you. You're listening to him. He's giving you the interpretation to that tongue, and the interpretation to that tongue is ring Joe Bloggs up. You ring Joe Bloggs up and they say, "Oh, funny you should ring up. I've just been praying that somebody might ring me up because I'm in deep trouble. I want to pray for you. I want to minister to you in the Holy Spirit." That's one way that God can reveal his what he wants to do in and through you. What are these other slides here? It builds you up spiritually. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the Holy Most faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, sometimes you can get very, 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 very discouraged. And very disappointed. And you think, oh, this is rough. It's not easy being a Christian. What does it say here? No. Go back. Dear friends, build yourselves up in the Most Holy and pray in the Holy Spirit. Because suddenly, when you start praying in the Holy Spirit, when you start praying in that tongue that God gives you, suddenly the Spirit starts, you know, overflowing into your life. Bringing his peace, bringing his joy, bringing his encouragement, bringing his comfort, bringing the solutions to the challenges that you face, bringing you solutions to the way forward in certain situations, telling you what to do, instructing you what to do. Go and pray for so and so, that they may be released from this bondage that they're in. Go and pray for so and so and tell them that they're forgiven. Go and do this, go and do that. And as we pray in the Holy Spirit, these thoughts will come into our minds that will reassure us and direct us as to the what God wants us to do. This is how we appropriate that which is within. Okay, let's look at these here. It builds you up spiritually. You're praising God and bringing him into the situation because tongues is also praising God. When we speak in tongues, peace and joy overflows, leaving no room for the enemy, no room for discouragement. You are praying for what is needed for in your situation, and you're becoming sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I know that in 10 minutes I can't do justice to this subject of the private gift of speaking in tongues. But what I do know is that it is a gift that God wants you to have. It's a gift that God wants to encourage you with. A lot of people might say, "Well, I don't think that the Holy Spirit is for everybody." Well, when you look in the book of Acts, the experience of all the Christians, apart from one example in the whole of the book of Acts, of when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, is that they spoke in tongues. And the one incident when it doesn't mention specifically speaking in tongues, we're pretty sure from the context that something dramatic happened that probably was speaking in tongues. That's when the Simon the sorcerer saw them filled with the Holy Spirit, and he offered the disciples money for what he saw. What did he see? Well, I'm sure that he saw and heard the speaking in tongues. So I believe it is a gift for every believer. And I want to encourage you that one way that the Holy Spirit's power is going to be appropriated, and you are going to know what to do with what he wants you to do and allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you, is not only that your mind is renewed, but that your mind is also renewed by you praying in tongues. What Paul says, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. I'd like every one of you to speak in tongues. Don't forbid speaking in tongues." Some of you might say, "Well, the church background that I grew up in, they don't believe in speaking in tongues. They never talked about it when I was at the church when I was a little boy or whatever. And it wasn't what I grew up with." Well, no doubt they didn't believe in miracles either. No, they didn't. No doubt they didn't believe that God was a powerful God who moves in his power today. So we belong to a Pentecostal church now, and we do believe that God moves in power. Amen. So this is where we are today. Well, I feel stupid saying these words. I feel like an idiot. Well, do not allow the enemy to rob you of that which is rightfully yours. God wants to rob you of a gift because God wants to give you it. If you understand that double Dutch, if you understand what I'm saying. The reason why the enemy steals this gift from you is because he knows how powerful it is. And so sometimes many people say, well, I feel stupid, I feel like an idiot, I feel like I'm talking baby languages, I'm just saying bah bah, oh dearie me. Well, I'm an idiot. Let me ask you, how did your children, if you had any children, or how did you, or how does any child learn to speak? One word at a time. And often the one word that they says, it sounds stupid. But what happens is that God gives you one word, then he gives you another word, then he gives you another word, and then he gives you another word. And suddenly you find that you're speaking a whole variety of words that are that prayer language, that Holy Spirit language that God has given you. Next thing I want to say to you is that when you want to speak in tongues, you have to open your mouth. God is a... Holy Spirit is a gentleman, excuse me for this analogy, but he's not going to vomit out of you. It's not going to be uncontrollable. You have control. You open your mouth. You allow him to give you the word and the words that he gives you, and suddenly you'll be speaking that language that the Holy Spirit gives you, that will build you up, that will reveal more of who Jesus is and his power within you. He will give you insight into situations. He will tell you what to do. And as you hear what he asks you to do, you go and do it. And because he's asked you to do it, he'll be right behind you and he will accomplish that which he's asked you to do. Have I got any more, Joshua? Believe and receive. I want to encourage you to seek this gift. I want to pray that tonight that this gift will be released in your life so that you will know more of the power of God in your life. So that you will see signs and wonders following the preaching of the word. I'm going to finish it there. I've spoken long enough. But what we will do, I will make myself available right now to pray for you. If you want that gift released in your life and you say to me, Ian, look, I want to stand here tonight before God and say, release this gift in my life so that I can know that heavenly language to pray and see my prayers prayed accurately and hit the nail on the head. I want to see my this language come into my life so that the interpretation is revealed to me so that I know more about God. I want to see this language in my life so that I am built up spiritually and I'm moving on that next step to seeing the power of God moved in my life, move through my life. Amen.